My name is Mehdi Sharifi. I'm a research scientist with Agriculture Agri-Food Canada in Summerland, British Columbia. My colleagues, Dennis Nelson, Jerry Nelson, they both retired a couple of years ago, Tom Forge and Kristen Hanno. So the topic is the interaction. It's again cover crops, very similar to what Jacqueline presented. Interaction between the cover crops and biochar and compost, effect of that on the yield and also on the cover crop parameters. So similar challenges, very similar to the previous presentation. We are located in a semi-arid region, so Okanagan Valley, British Columbia, is a semi-arid environment. It's the hub of the vineyards, so that's a major wine production in Canada. Beautiful. If you haven't visited that, you should put that in your plan. Very beautiful, especially in the summer. So most of the vineyards are irrigated. The soils are very light texture, mainly like maybe a big percentage of the soils are sandy soil. And as a result, very low organic matter, so the can hold match organic matter is usually around like 1.5, sometimes even below 1%. And cation exchange capacity low as a result. And soil compaction, oh my God, soil compaction is like really bad because a lot of traffic and soil doesn't have enough organic matter to kind of create those soil aggregates. So huge compaction. Sometime I go soil sampling and there's no way that I can do it with a probe or with an auger. So we have to really, I need a jackhammer to dig even 5 centimeters into the soil. And for me, that's really because my background is field crops. I did a lot of work with the potatoes and then later with the corn, soybean, wheat. And I never saw this kind of compaction in those kind of crop because you cultivate it every year and it's a different system. But in this system, and the growers, they're telling me that don't worry about the alleyways. It doesn't have any effect on the wine. They're focusing on the management of the rows. And I do not believe that. I think the alleyways could be very important, and that's what I'm going to show you here. So, and the root, as a result, that compacted between the rows, then we have a small and shallow roots, and we have drip irrigation, so the roots of the plants are, like, very limited. So a couple of suggestions for addressing these challenges. One would be using the cover crops, and also using the amendments to kind of boost up a little bit of organic matter in the soil, water holding capacity. So again, water is an issue. So bring the organic matter, water holding capacity, cation exchange capacity a little bit high, and then putting cover crop to add again more organic matter. But also having that cover crop, that amendment helps to reduce the interaction, the competition between the wine grape and the cover crops. So cover crops is reported to have a positive effect on the yield and yield quality, provide a lot of essential services to the vineyard, water infiltration, all these mentioned in the previous presentation, nutrient supply and retention, weed suppression, very important, biological sort of control, attracting all the beneficial insects, effect on the soil biology, activity diversity, and reducing the erosion. But the concern that the grower has, they all think that, okay, this is good. We would like to use the cover crops, but first of all, there is no recipe for them. We don't know what to use. And second, we think it's going to compete with the main crops. So we don't want that competition for the nutrients and for the water. So here you see that interactions that you may see, and all these pictures are from my experiment there. So this is annual ryegrass and forage radish cover crop that we established. So when you're dealing with the cover crop, establishment is the first thing, and it's not easy. It may seem easy, very hard to establish a good cover crop. And so this is the first challenge, and that one of the experiments I started this year. I'm screening a wide range of cover crops for between row and under row as well. But this is focused on the between row, so alleyways. So you see interaction with the nutrients, water competition may happen between the wine grape and cover crop. You see the interaction with the soil organisms, and you see interaction with the pests and diseases. One of the organic growers I work with them, they use lentils, spring and winter lentils for the cover crops. Less than 3-4 years, there is no powdery mildew at all. Like, it's unbelievable, and I want to look into that to see what's going on there, because that's amazing. Powdery mildew is like a huge issue for the vineyards. And then organic amendments. Here we have a mixture of compost and biochar. We use between the row, and then we mix it with the top like 5 centimeter soil, incorporate it. And then they have also interaction with water, nutrients, and also soil organisms. So these are the two factors that I wanted to test it. And we established this is the vineyard that we're working. It's in our research center in Summerland. And we wanted to test the effect of that cover crop amendment, their interactions, and the effect of that on some of the grapevine yield and yield quality parameters, also cover crop parameters. The sites, as I mentioned, south central Okanagan Valley. The variety was Merlot Cologne 181 on the SO4 rootstock, established in 2011. We started the experiment 2017. I inherited this block from my colleagues that they retired. So I said, no, keep it. I want to do something with it. And we started this experiment back in 2017. Treatments are controlled, so herbicide and no amendment. And then we have one kind of cover crop that I'll show you which kind of cover crop we have. And then we have biochar and compost with no cover crop. And then we have both cover crop and biochar and compost. They're mixed. So 4 treatments. And biochar compost, we used not very high rate, 22 tons dry weight per hectare. And it was a 1-to-1 ratio of compost and biochar. And I will show you the biochar composition and compost composition. We started in May 2017. We applied the amendment experiment factorial with randomized complete block with 9 replications. So very highly replicated experiment. Plot size 2.7 meter to per 8.5 meter. So relatively larger plots we have, and when you're working with the cover crops, you have to have larger plots. So small plots, it's very variable. And then we, just like the previous experiment, each plot, it was one row with the two side alleyways. That was one plot for us. The cover crop, we used that, this is dry environment, so we want something that doesn't need too much water. So that was the Southern Interior Dryland Forage Mix at the rate of 22.4 kilogram per hectare seeding rate. And that's the composition over here. So you see mainly a lot of like grasses. Wheat grass is the main one. And then orchard grass, 2 different kind. And then fescue and then rye grass. So a mix of different grasses. And grasses are slow to establish. So I'm going to show you the first year weeds, they're going to take over. But then if you're patient and if you're managing it, they're going to come back. And the cover crop will come back. And then we have alfalfa here. And the vineyard managers, they hate alfalfa. They're just so much hated. As soon as you say alfalfa, they said, forget it. And but this is a different type of alfalfa. It's the creeping rooted alfalfa, so it doesn't have that tap root that goes down and compete with the grapes. So, and also I added another legume to that, and that's birdsfoot trefoil, 6 kilograms. So I wanted to have a balance between the grass and between the legumes. And that's a very drought resistant birdsfoot trefoil, is actually like a native to that region. And then you see here the differences between the, this is the second year. First year was 2017, we see that. Second year, you see the differences here between the cover crop versus no cover crop in this picture. And in terms of the compost, biochar, and soil characteristics, you see that the soil is relatively alkaline, 7.4 pH. And then you see organic matter is 1.7% carbon, so relatively low. And then here for the biochar, you see that it's very porous, so 78% is the sort of bulk density, 78 kilogram per cubic meter. And then also the size of the biochar, I want you to pay attention to that. It was like 40% is coarse, between 2 millimeter to 4 millimeter, and then the rest are under 2 millimeter. So relatively, like 50% of that was like relatively fine, and then the rest. And then all the organisms, and here is the compost. The pH in the biochar was alkaline, 10.5. In the compost, almost neutral, 6.7. And all the organisms, all the nutrients and macronutrients and so on, you see it here. And this is the application. So you see it. Thin layer on the soil is not like huge amount. And let's look at the cover crop biomass in 2017-2018. So this is the establishment at your left here. So above ground dry biomass in 2017, tons per hectare, and that's the dry weight. And then we have cover crop here, and then compare those with the, when we added the biochar and then we planted the cover crop. So cover crop with biochar and compost and with no biochar. And you see the huge differences in the total biomass, but majority of the biomass is the weeds. That's orange color are the weeds. So the weeds, they love it. As soon as you give them those extra nutrients and so on, then they're going to thrive and they're going to take over. But our cover crop started establishing slowly here, and then when we be going to the second year, then the cover crop, they take over. Then they knock the weeds down, and then they establish a significant increase when we have these biochar and compost, and that's what we wanted. We wanted to give them a little boost, and we wanted to reduce the competition with the main crop there. I'm going to move a little bit faster. When you're looking at the fruit yield and petiole nitrate in 2018, increase in the fruit yield when we have almost like 41% increase in the yield when we have the biochar or when we have the cover crop. When we have both together, then we get no significant differences with the control, which is kind of like a mystery to me, but it makes sense somehow, because then the cover crop, they're thriving, they're using a lot of that nutrients and so on, and not much of that gonna left for the wine grape maybe. Same thing with the average cluster number, same pattern. And when we're looking at the nutrition in the plant at the horizon, that petiole nitrate, you see always when we have the cover crops, then you have lower petiole nitrate. So compare these three with the rest of them. Again, here when we have cover crop, you have lower sort of petiole nitrate at the horizon stage. So if you have a vigorous vineyard, then this cover crop is actually helping. It's reduced the vigor. No significant differences in the other parameters like cluster weight, berry size, and so on. So no significant differences in the Brix number, TA, and yaw. Soil mineral nitrogen, very variable as we expecting. So we measure the nitrogen concentration during the growing season in June, in August, in October. I just wanted to see that we don't have immobilization, because that's high carbon biochar that we have. It can very easily immobilize. But when we added the compost to that and we charge it, then we don't see that immobilization effect. So up and down. When we have cover crops, a little bit lower nitrate and ammonium you we see in the soil, but we always have that pattern of at the early in the season we have high mineral nitrogen, and then plant take it up, and then at the end of the season again it comes back. So very normal. One of the mechanisms that I can kind of think about is that microbial sort of activity in different depth of the soil. This is another experiment we did. This is the control, and this is when we added organic amendment and different depths up to 60 centimeters, so 0 to 15, 15 to 30, and so on up to 60. When we have organic matter on top of the soil, not only it's increased the respiration on the topsoil, but also in the depth of the soil. So you see here, very high relatively to this picture. So we boost the biological activity in the soil, and the depth is very important. So just as a conclusion, cover crops and charred biochar, they had a significant effect on the yield, even in the short-term study. Use of cover crops reduced the mineral nitrogen concentration during the growing season, so reduced the chance of leaching and so on. Charged biochar reduced the risk of competition for the nutrients, and petiole nitrate concentration decreased by the cover crop. It can be used for controlling the vineyard. So at the end, I want to emphasize that managing of the alleyways, that we, at times we ignore that, it could be very important part of the vineyard management. With that, thank you so much to the sponsors, BC, British Columbia Wine Grape Council, also the CGCN and Government of Canada, that I'm their employee, and a lot of students that help with this experiment, and my technician Bill Labby and Lana Fukumoto. Thank you very much. Okay, I was not a good example, so I went over time. I don't have time for the question, but if you have any question, come to me, and I will answer your questions after the